Finally, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31 for the message tonight. Deuteronomy 31. The message tonight is simple. Probably if you had about a half an hour, you could sit down in your living room and read this passage and come up with the same outline I got. It's that simple. It's that easy. But it is a basic truth that we all need. And so I've been holding this message for weeks. Prepared it weeks ago. And every Sunday when I've come in to preach, I intended on a Sunday night to preach this sermon, and the Lord just wouldn't let me do it. Always brought something else, and then this week I was I have a message. I'll probably preach it next week that I thought would be a good Sunday night sermon, and I wanted to do it tonight, and the Lord wouldn't let me do it. I got to do this simple one, but I think you'll enjoy it, all right? Let's begin in verse 9, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9. And I'll just go ahead and tell you the 12th verse is my text verse. But if you look at verse 9, let's get down to the 12th verse so we see what's going on. And in verse 9, it says, "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying," now here's the law, "at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles." All right, now you'll remember that you had 6 days, and then on the seventh day, the Lord rested. And he gave that seventh day as a day of rest, as a Sabbath for his people, for the Jews. All right, now what he did with a week, he also did with the year. And in the law, you worked 6 years, you worked the land, so to speak, for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, you did not work the land. You let it rest. The land took a Sabbath, and they dedicated that year, that seventh year, they dedicated it to the Lord. It was a time to count your blessings. It was a time to thank God for his blessing and his abundance upon you. And so that's what this is talking about in verse 10. He said, "At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of the Tabernacles." Now, you know that there were certain feasts that were scheduled throughout the year. And as a matter of fact, there were 7 of them, and the number of perfection. And one of those feasts that they celebrated was the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was a joyous time. They pitched tents to signify the children of Israel in the wilderness. And during that time, for that 40-year period, they lived in tents. But the Lord saw them through that and brought them into the land where they built houses when they got in the land. Remember all this? It's all coming back to you now, isn't it? All right, so the point is that God said that during the Feast of the Tabernacles, during this time of celebration, when you are remembering the goodness of the Lord during the wilderness wandering years, this is what I want you to do. Look at verse 11. He said, "When all Israel has come to appear before the Lord, thy God in the place which he shall choose. And here's the law. Thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So you gather the children of Israel together. Get everybody in town. During the Feast of the Tabernacles, when everybody is celebrating, when they have come out of their houses and they put up tents and there's a party going on and there's food and there's refreshment and there's music and it's a time of celebration. During that time, I want you to read the law to the people. Not complicated, simple. Just read the law to the people. All right, now that leads me to my text. Here's what Moses said. Gather the people together, men and women and children and thy stranger that is within thy gates. In other words, everybody. You get everybody. That they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Now, I want to take this 12th verse and I want to preach a message tonight that I'm simply going to entitle Reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this book of Deuteronomy that gives us the law of Moses. And Father, thank you for this beautiful little thing that you asked them to do. And I pray that as we look at it tonight, that we'll be able to appropriate the principle here and realize how benefited each one of us will be if we spend time reading your word. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And here in this passage, you ask the priest to stand before the people so they could hear the word of the Lord as it was read. And Father, I just pray that we will see the importance tonight of spending time daily in the Word of God, growing and learning and getting understanding on how to fear the Lord our God. So Lord, bless tonight. I pray the message will be a challenge to our hearts, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and amen. One of the things that I have tried to do in my 21 years as being your pastor is to instill within you a desire to love the Word of God. Every Sunday and every Wednesday, I do my best to give you the Word of God, and hopefully to whet your appetite so that you will tomorrow and Tuesday and then Wednesday and Thursday and then Friday and Saturday that you will spend time with God in His book. I don't want to say I couldn't. I don't know. I probably could. It might wear a little thin on me, but I probably could preach every day of my life. Probably I could. It might kill me, but I probably could do it. I love to preach that much, and I love the Word of God. I stand amazed at what is in this book. And I have done my best through the years to try and convince you every week that your Bible is the inspired, infallible, perfect, immutable Word of the living God. And to get you to love your Bible. I have always believed that the Bible was God's word. And my conviction toward that end is stronger today than it was all those years ago when I first accepted the pastorate of my first church. I believe it more today. I'm more convicted about it today. I am more attuned to the issue today. And I believe with every fiber of my being that this Bible is God's word. Now, I have said to you through the years that I am convinced that God's people do not read their Bibles today. I'm just convinced of that. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? I'm not saying everybody, but I am convinced that most people that claim the name Christian do not read their Bibles. I have just been pastoring too long, and I have been witness to the lack of conviction and to the shallowness and to the carnality and to the lack of commitment to the things of God. I have just seen so much that I believe that God's people do not read their Bible like they should. All of that is evidence of a lack of time that is spent in the Word of God. Now, in this text, God instructed Israel during the Feast of the Tabernacles and to get the people together and to listen as the priest read the law of Moses in their hearing. You see, folks, back in those days, there was no way to mass produce the scriptures. If you had a Bible, you just wouldn't have had a Bible. The Bibles that copies of the law were in the hands of the priest. And you just did not have your own copy of the Bible. So you could sit down in your own house and you could pray, but you could not sit down in your own house and read your own Bible to your family because you did not have one. Think about that. And God wanted them to hear His word. And so in this part of the law, God said that every 7 years during the celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles, you bring the people together and the priest is to stand in front of the people and he is to read aloud the law of God. Now, of course, they had regular readings at the tabernacle, and daily the priest would read the law at the tabernacle, and folks could come and they could hear it read there. But this was a special time during the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the commandment was given so that folks would put everything else aside and they would come simply to focus upon the reading of God's word. Now, do you remember in the book of Nehemiah? I preached on it a couple of months ago. But in the book of Nehemiah, they were honoring and they were obeying this verse in Deuteronomy 31 in Nehemiah. You remember that's when Ezra, the scribe, took the law and stood on a wooden pulpit. Remember that incident? And he stood on a wooden pulpit and he read the law to the people. And if you'll remember on that day when he was reading the law, the sun was out, it was hot, but the people did not grow tired. And they started to weep. And the Bible tells us that the people were weeping and crying over their sin and over God's wonderful, abundant blessings upon them as they heard the law of God in their ears. So that's in Nehemiah, that's what they were doing. They were doing what Moses said they were to do. And of course, God blessed it in a great way. Now, that's the circumstances of the text. Now, three things I want to point out to you. Number one, I want you to notice first in verse 12, the listeners of the word. The listeners. The Lord said, look at that 12th verse. He said, gather the people together, men and women and children, even the strangers who are visiting, and let them hear the word of God. In other words, folks, everybody was to hear the reading of God's word. Everybody. No one was exempt. The men, the women, the children, no one was excused from hearing the scriptures read. Every member of the family needed to hear God's word. You know, one of the things that that I look back on with tremendous thankfulness is the fact that my mother read the Bible to me and to my brother and to my sister when we were growing up, when we were children. I look back on that with the fondest of memories today. I remember coming home from school, and there was my mother sitting in her chair with an open Bible in her lap. She loved the Bible, and she instilled in me her love for the Word of God. I think with all my heart that that's where I got my love for the Word of God. Even the men were commanded to come and listen to the Bible. I'm so thankful that we have so many faithful men in our church. Thank God for faithful men in our church. And I'm telling you that not all churches have this kind of faithfulness and this kind of dedication among the men. I can assure you that's true. Now, they would stand and they would listen while the priest read the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but I figure most of you are like me, and you read the newspaper every day. You read one or two of the news sites on the internet, and you usually sit down in the evening and turn the television set on and watch a program or two. So why should we not read our Bible every day as well? I mean, the Word of God is certainly more important than anything Hollywood can do. It's certainly more important than anything that's going on the in the headlines of the news channels. And we just need to read the Bible. You know, all these social media sites today, you know, they're creating a real problem that is taking place in our world. Since our nation's founding, we have, as a country, relied upon the press for the news. We have relied upon the media and what we simply call the news. When my generation was, when we were teenagers, there was CBS, and there was ABC, and there was NBC. That was it. All right, that was it. And then you had the newspapers. You had the New York Times, and you had the Washington newspapers, and then you had a few news organizations like Gannett and Reuters and some of those, and we relied upon them for the news. The press used to be the newspapers, but the press has basically been replaced by the media today, what is simply called the media. And the media today is newspapers, and it's the television, and it is, sadly, the internet. And the press, for a large part, and we knew this, we've known this for years, but in this last election, whatever else you think about WikiLeaks, one thing WikiLeaks did was expose the press for what they are. And I'm not up on the criminality or the or on the morality of what WikiLeaks did. I have no idea who's behind it. I don't guess anybody knows. They're speculating, but I don't guess anybody knows except for Julian Assange. I guess he knows. But one thing they did was expose the media. WikiLeaks exposed the media and showed America how today's media is in full collusion with the liberal agenda and the Democrat Party. Now, we all knew that, but WikiLeaks exposed it. Now, alongside of the media are all of these new things on the internet called social media sites, like Facebook and like Twitter and like Snapchat and Instagram and a whole bunch of other sites. There's a host that they come out, new ones every week. And all of these media sites have created today what is being called the fake news. Have you heard that phrase? They are creating what is today being called fake news. Now, what is that? Well, what that means is someone can go on one of these social media sites like Facebook and or Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram. They can go on one of these sites and say something that is completely false, but report it or say it like it's truth. You with me? And what happens is somebody picks up that story. They report it as truth, and the next thing you know, a fake story is the headlines across the world. And the bottom line is, with the media today, you cannot tell what is the real news and what is the fake news. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I'm to the place where I don't trust anything I read anywhere anymore. I mean, you just don't know what's fake and what's not. And the bottom line is, you don't know what to do. Let me give you an example. We were told leading up and including right up to the day of the election that every poll had Hillary winning the election hands down. Now, why did they do that? Well, they were in Clinton's pocket, for one thing. They were on her side. They were on her team. And no doubt, some of it was to discourage us from going to vote. We were kind of maybe throwing, and no doubt some people did. What's the use? What's the use? Why, there's no use in me going to vote. And according to the media, it was a slam dunk, and Trump was finished, and Clinton was going to be our next president. Well, the media had it wrong. Amen and amen. They had it wrong, completely wrong. It was a slam dunk, all right, but not for Hillary. So today, my point is, what I'm trying to get you to see is, you can't trust the news. You can't trust any of the news. You say, well, I watch Fox, so do I. You can't trust Fox. There's fake news on that. But that's our world today. You know, my Bible tells me there's only one thing that's truth. You with me? What's that mean? That means, dear friend, the Word of God is never going to give you fake news. It is never going to mislead you. Every verse, every word, every story, every promise is all the truth from the lips of God Almighty. And you can trust every single word that you read. You see, our God, who cannot lie, Titus 1:2, has packed His Word with the truth. And so that's why the listeners need to read the Bible. Just get in the Word of God and learn it and love it and hide it in your heart so that you won't sin against God. So that's the listener. Number two, I want you to notice with me the learning from the Word of God. Look at the text, please. Look at the text. In verse 12, it says, gather the people together. There's the listeners, the men, the women, the children, the strangers. Why? Well, here now is the learning. Here's what you and I are to learn from reading the Bible, that they may hear and that they may learn. You see, when the Word of God is read, we learn from it. We learn from it. When the Word of God is read, we learn from it. What we learn in the Word of God is far more important than anything else we can learn in life. Folks, the Bible has the answers. Take your Bible for a minute and go over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Look at verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Everybody got it? All right, follow along. He said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me, what's the next word? Wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. David said, my enemies, man, I mean, I don't ever get away from them, but I'm wiser than they are. Why? Because I love your word, Lord. I love your word. Look at verse 99. David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Wow, that's something, isn't it? I remember my senior year of college, I had to take philosophy. I had to take philosophy 401 and philosophy 402. And we had to learn the different philosophies of the great minds through the centuries. Plato and Socrates and Descartes and all of them. I mean, we spent the whole year, two semesters, studying those guys and their view of life. But I want you to notice what David said here. David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. I have more understanding than all of them because I know thy law. Folks, may I remind you, the Lord Jesus asked one day, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and then lose his own soul? How advantaged are you if you have sat around your entire life and figured everything out, and yet you have no knowledge of God and His truth? How are you advantaged if that's the case? If you want to learn the important things of life, I got a suggestion for you. Read your Bible. The Bible deals with life and death and eternity. It deals with God. It deals with creation. It deals with life. Everyone wants to know, where did I come from? Well, the Bible tells you where you came from. Where am I going? Well, the Bible answers that question as well. How do I live while I'm on this planet? Again, the Bible has the answer. Now understand that the world will answer all of these questions, and that's what I was studying my senior year in Bible college. I was studying the world's understanding of those questions. But boy, when I got in the Bible, I realized, wait a minute, those guys were wrong. God was right. And that's what Paul said in Romans 3, let God be true and every man a liar. The world will answer these questions, or you can let God answer them for you. And it's your choice. It's your choice to believe God's truth or to believe the devil's lie. For example, God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But man says, oh no, through millions of years, the world evolved into what we have today. But you see, the Lord Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And it sure is a wonderful thing to open your Bible and read the truth of God and see and learn the answers. What does the truth of God set you free to do? It sets you free to do God's will. And boy, are you ever going to be glad you did God's will. You say, well, Pastor, what's God's will for my life? Well, first of all, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is for you to be saved. The truth of God's word will set you free and free from sin so that you can be a forgiven child of God. And it's God's will for you to be saved. The Word of God teaches us how then to live for the Lord. And you know, most of the stuff that we learn in school and all that stuff we learn from television and from Hollywood, and none of that's going to help us one iota when we get into eternity. It's not going to help us, but the Word of God will help us. God teaches us how to live for Him now and prepares us for the day when we leave here and go into eternity. And I think there's going to be a ton of people that will be standing at the judgment seat of Christ and will look at the Lord and say, well, Lord, I just didn't know. And the Lord is going to say, what, you didn't read my word? I put all that right in my Bible, but you didn't read it, did you? And boy, you talk about some long faces. There's going to be some long faces around that throne. Then thirdly, I want you to notice with me the living of the Word. We saw the listeners of the Word, then the learning from the Word. But now look with me at the living of the Word. Here is how we live once we have heard the Word of God. And notice there are two things the Word of God teaches us about living. First, look at your Bible, verse 12, back in our text. It teaches us to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Now, when the Bible says that we are to fear God, it does not mean that we're to be afraid, that we're to cower and be afraid of God. No, it simply means to respect God, fear God. You respect God. When I see a policeman standing in the road with a flashlight in his hand and he's got a uniform on, he's got a badge on, and he's directing traffic, and he's pointing, well, I follow the direction he tells me to go in, right? Now, I don't fear that man, but I respect that man. He has been appointed to that job. He has a uniform that shows me that he has been given authority. And I respect that authority. So if he takes that flashlight and points it and wants me to go a certain direction, I mean, I might be able to park the car, get out and whoop him. I don't know. But I'm not going to do it because he's authority. Yeah, I may not want to go the direction he's wanting me to go, but I am going to do it because he is authority. I respect his authority. I fear him. That's the idea behind this phrase. And so it means we're to respect God. Recognize God's authority over us. You know, the Apostle Paul said, there is no fear of God before the eyes of men. Boy, that's sad, isn't it? I remember down in West Virginia when I first went into the ministry, we used to leave the church unlocked. Nobody would dare go into the house of God and steal anything. Nobody would dare back in the 70s, back in the 80s. Nobody would dare go in. But you cannot do that today. Oh, there is no fear of God before their eyes today. But you see, if you respect someone, you will do what they tell you to do. If that policeman tells me to turn a certain way, I respect his authority and I'm going to turn the way he tells me to turn. And if you fear God, you respect his authority as God and you will do what he tells you to do. And how do you develop a fear of God? I'll tell you how you develop it right here. Read the book. And you'll find out who God is. And it'll create the fear of God in your heart. Second, look at your text verse. Look at verse 12. We observe to do all the words of the law. Now, folks, just think of the simplicity of that. We observe to do all the words of the law. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you disgusted by the way our world today curses? I am. Oh, it just grieves me to go to an Orioles game and hear guys sitting up behind me just, you know, cursing and saying foul, wicked, vile things. It just drives me nuts. There were some guys a couple of years ago, and they were sitting right behind Dr. Smith, and there was three or four of us, all of us in the ministry. I think Hamlin was there, and one of the preachers from over at Emerton was there, and these guys behind us, and they were just cursing, just foul, wicked stuff. First inning. And I leaned over to Dr. Smith and I said, you got my back? He looked at me and he said, I sure do. And I stood up and I turned around and I said, guys, look, I did not come and spend all this money to go to a baseball game and sit and listen to you cursing in my ear. Now stop it. That guy stood there, he puffed his chest out and snorted a little bit, and he looked at me, and I said, do you know who this guy is right here? He said, no. I said, let me tell you, you don't want to be cursing in front of him. Now stop it. And we turned around, that was it. It was done. Never heard another curse word come out of their mouths. It drives me nuts, folks. Now, I got a question for you. Why don't you talk like that? Why don't you guys talk like that? I'll tell you why. You've learned better. You know better. You fear God. and you have learned how to speak without cursing. Right? You've learned that. Why do we not curse like that? Why do we not do it? Well, the Word of God has taught us not to. There was an old evangelist back at the beginning of the 1900s. His name was Sam Jones. And Sam Jones used to say all the time, when you get saved, why, even your dog ought to be better off. That makes sense, doesn't it? Even your dog ought to be better off than he was before. I mean, you look at our world today and you see drunkenness and marriage and divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage and divorce, and nobody even bats an eye anymore. Well, why are we different? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Word of God has taught us better. We are all better off as a result of what we have learned from the Word of God. And I could go on and on and on and give you example after example of how the people of God, those that fear God and love His Word, are guided and directed to an ethic and to a way of living life that is far better than the way the world lives their life. Our society, folks, is reflective of a world that does not fear God. Christian, stay in the book. Let God's Word guide your thoughts. Let it shape your heart. Let it mold your children. Let it teach you God's way. And let it direct you in God's will. You got to stay in the book. I'm telling you, folks, that America needs to get back to the Word of God. Our churches need to get back to the Word of God. This liberalism that we see today first crept into our churches back in the 60s and the 70s. And today we are some 40 years down the road. We are a generation down the road into liberalism filling our churches. And look at what it's done. They're as dead as they can be. And today, just like Amos said, there's a famine of the Word of God. A famine. Boy, that's what we're seeing, isn't it? Not a famine of wheat, but a famine of the Word of God. Most churches today have a Sunday morning service, and then that's it. That's it. And sadly, that service is conducted apart from the Word of God. Very little Bible today across this land. Very little. So what I'm hoping is that this famine causes some folks to wake up and say, I need to hear God's Word. I need to hear God's Word. I need to hear what God has to say. You see, folks, what we've been doing is not working. One lady came here a couple of months ago, and she met me out in the hallway, and she said, wow, I've not heard preaching in so long, I've forgotten what preaching is. She said, do you do this every week? I said, yes, ma'am, 3 times a week. And she's been here every Sunday since, and she's here tonight. I'm hoping that our country swings around and gets hungry for the Word of God. I'm hoping before I get too old to do this, I'm hoping that somebody across this land says, I want to hear God. I want to hear what God has to say. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hearing what Michael Moore has to say. And I'm sick and tired of hearing what the Kardashians have to say. And I'm sick and tired of hearing what Rosie O'Donnell and Bono and Al Sharpton and all the rest of. I'm sick of what they have to say. I want to hear what God has to say. And God says, gather the people together, men and women and children and strangers, that they may hear, that they may learn. And fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the works of this law. Oh, folks, how we need to get back to the book.